sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk.
Episode 119. Free Palestine.
Damn. And we just gonna find these little marks and smoke them. Shit ain't that hard.
As long as it ain't no crowd. Look, I'm not killing no kids on the old
killing
folks,
no
right?
Kids on the old folks.
Hey man, who the fuck gonna be old out there 12 o'clock at night, man? Shit, nigga, I smoke anybody, nigga. I just don't give a fuck. Shit, I'm gonna hit this shit, nigga.
Look, all right, not me, all right? I'm not killing no kids.
And you know what, nigga? You acting like a little bitch right now. You act real paranoid and shit. Now these motherfuckers smoked your goddamn cousin in front of you, nigga. Blew his head off in front of your face, and you ain't gonna do shit? You acting like a little bitch right now, nigga. Man, fuck that. I ain't letting that shit ride. We gonna go ahead and smoke all these motherfuckers. I don't care who the fuck out there. God damn it. Is you down, nigga?
Welcome. Bienvenue to another episode of Shut the Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. B Dot Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to welcome you new listeners, especially if you happen to have clicked on this podcast by mistake. But check it out. I need to give you a heads up that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, Soul in the City, and much music. Today's date is October 18, 2023. Happy Hump Day. And it's 7:24 p.m. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. And this episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff. Record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be that way, Whitey, then fuck you too. You know, some of yous should have gotten a hint. Some of you, I really hope, got the hint that, you know, I may not be entertained by this podcast. I'm trying to reduce the amount of bullshit emails I got to read or bullshit messages that I'm just going to delete. You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. Hey, like I said, welcome you new listeners, and I guess and welcome back existing listeners. How was your day? I really need to get the fuck off social media, man. A sensitive guy like me needs to, like, holy shit, I've been doing a lot of self-regulating. But yeah, for you new listeners, check it out. Like I said, Shut Up Podcast, and one thing I like to do, well, my episodes are broken down into three parts, or three acts, if you want to call it that. The first one is the introduction, which is what I'm doing now, and in the intro, you know, play the theme, and second, that whole intro is pretty much me saying, hey, white people approach with caution, and then, yeah, you know what, now that I think about it, the intro is pretty much saying, hey, dear white people, this is a black ass episode. How black, black ass episode. I mean, a black ass podcast. And the other half is telling black people the kind of black person that I am.
Then you know the date and, you know, and the fuck Whitey. All right, okay. And, all right. Second act is called Use and Random Thoughts. And the last one is called Final Thoughts. And Final Thought usually relates to the title of today of the episode. So buckle up. And before I end the introduction, I just want to share a quote by Malcolm X. And it goes, a man who stands for nothing will fall for anything. For me, growth is the fact that the first time I heard this quote, I didn't get it. Now, I get it. And it took another quote that goes, a friend to all is a friend to none, to finally understand what he was trying to say. And you know what? And it's going to relate to my final thought. So before we get to final thought, let's do some news and random thoughts. And get the show going, all right? You happy? Let's do this. Okay, let's go. Yeah. Right. Okay. Let's rush through this because I'm not going to lie. I got an Uber order on its way. My phone's going to interrupt during the show. And then, I'm going to try to rush this because, you know, j'ai faim esti. All right, first thing on the ducket. I mean, you know what? This is one reason I created this podcast. Hip hop sucks. Hip hop officially sucks. Now, I was willing to accept the fact that that I'm an old head in hip hop, and that sure, there was a lot of new hip hop that people from my generation of hip hop fans didn't like. I wasn't those people. I just accepted the fact that, hey, today's artist makes music for today's youth. I accepted that and just kept bumping my little 90s hip-hop. And I remember when Nas made Hip Hop is Dead. And I remember, yes, hip-hop was in a state where a lot of us were like, man, fuck this genre. We weren't liking what was coming out. But still love for hip-hop. Now, I think this is where I fucking draw the line. A headline just recently came out about how Waka Flocka Flames endorses Donald Trump, despite the fact that he used to hate Donald Trump. Now, I'm sure this shit is just is a cash grab. Actually, I'm going to recommend, I don't know what episode number it is, but there's an episode of The Black Guy Who Tips and Rod Sheshe's theory about the attention... The economy of attention. Attention economics, is that what he's called it? Whatever, right? And he's got this theory that I'm willing to roll with. So if you hear me use the word attention economics or make any reference to attention being used to make money, I'm borrowing his theory. This was all comes from his theory that he explains better on his podcast. But you know what? Let me just give you the actual title. It's called Attention Economy, and then The Black Guy Who Tips. The Attention Economy, 2783, episode 2783. Damn, that's a lot of episodes. All right, okay. I honestly think that Waka Flocka just said, man, fuck the people, man. I'm trying to make these dollars. And I don't know him personally. But the only thing a rapper could gain from talking that shit about being a Trump supporter is some selfish reasons. I just need people to talk about me on their podcast, on their website, to tweet about me. I need the motherfucking attention because I probably have some mediocre album coming out and I need y'all to download that shit or talk shit about me. I need my name to trend, whatever. But for me, what bothers me, if I'm on this fuck hip-hop state, is because I'm thinking about everything that's going on in the world, bad economy, not just the economy, how some of us are, like, worried about the future. You know what? Shout out to my man, Jay Little. I was telling him about how sometimes I worry about being that old guy who's out of touch or who can't use today's technology. And he was like, yeah, you ain't got to worry about that shit, man. By that time, the world's going to burn up and or flooded. You either, we're either going to be flooded or burning. But my point is, sometimes it's hard to think of the future. You look at what's going on now and you lose inspiration. I think about how fucking what's going on between in Palestine, the conflict in Palestine, in Israel, right? And like all this shit going on, like even racism, all this thing. And I've yet, and I remember when hip hop was that art form I can turn to. It felt like, not the, I don't want to call it a parent, but the sibling, the older sibling, the wise sibling, who you could, it was the art that inspired me, that kept me going. It's like some people listen to gospel music to get that kind of inspiration. Some people turn to their favorite artists to get that, I miss you, Lauryn Hill, to, no, I'm not looking for Ja Rule to make sense of the word. I'm just saying, I miss the days when, like Chuck D said, hip hop was black people CNN. Now we got this assholes like fucking Waka Flocka talking shit and what's her name? Red Spice? Red whatever? Big Red? Whatever the fuck her name is. Doesn't matter. She's not in my, I'm not in her target demographic of listeners. But the point is how they all on this, yeah, vote for Trump. It's it's kind of like have rappers always never given a fuck? You know what? I miss the days when rappers acted like they gave a fuck about their community. Now it's, like I said in a past episode, rap is turning into, what's going on to rap is the same thing that happened to voodoo. By the end, it'll just be a piece of, will just be that thing we wipe our ass, I mean, will just be that thing that we avoid. I don't know. I'm just, look, man, I'm just very disappointed with a lot of rappers. No, I'm very disappointed with rappers. Now, it can be my fault. I'm going to take a bit of the blame that I'm not seeking out new artists. Shout out to Nas. But I'm not seeking out new artists. Maybe there are rappers who rap in my genre, and it's my fault because the machine, I call it the machine, the system that promotes them, that makes them known to me, doesn't exist anymore. Like in the old days, I took for granted that I'd learn about X-Clan or whatever. I could go to my favorite Much Music. Was it Much, were they Much Music back then or were they Rap City? When I discovered, it was an era, man. Every rapper had the name Black in their name. Black this, Black that. Yeah, and then X-Clan came out. Public Enemy. All them rappers, man. I remember when I used to listen to that shit, and it inspired me to, like, I hated school, but it inspired me to fucking stick to it, not quit school, get my shit together. I mean, you know, I guess this is just, I'm just expressing a thought about, yeah, now hip-hop sucks, while taking the blame, accepting the possibility that it might be my fault that I'm the one who's not searching for them. I'm not putting enough effort to find them. There is spoken word, right? Yeah, you know what? I think that's my, okay, all right, okay. Next thought, all right? But yeah, hip-hop sucks. Like, fuck hip-hop! This makes more sense if I cry two tears for her, that will be the much that I could give to her. All right, okay. Next one. Okay, this one I got from, all right. Okay, I have this bad habit of clicking on a link when I already opened it up on a tab. Okay, let me just try to clean things up here. All right. Question for you. And I'm going to credit, I got this credit from a tweet from someone I follow on Twitter. Notice I don't use the word X. Yeah, man, Elon Musk can suck my dick. I'm not calling it X. It's called Twitter. Mama call him Twitter, I'ma call it Twitter. Right, someone I follow on Twitter, and he asked the question, Wise Connector, and he asked the question, what's another way to say I love you? And I'm not going to read the answers, but I'm going to let you think about it. Then, you know, email in. Oh, my God. email in your answers to that one. But for me, I think it says a lot about your love language. But for me, my answer was, another way to say I love you to me is that line from Tupac, what he says, no matter who the foes, they must fall. Us against them all, I'm down to brawl if my homie calls. Essentially, if you say shit like they got a problem with you, they got a problem with me. Time goes by, an eye for an eye. We end this together, son, your beef is mine. So long as the sunshine can light up the sky, we end this together, son, your beef is mine. Yeah, for me, yeah, I'm not into the Hallmark, you know, oh, they make a lovely couple. For me is when a couple is like willing to ride and die for you. For me, that's another way to say I love you. I'm thinking of, who was I thinking of? Was it Omar? Yeah, like that scene in The Wire, first season. And when Omar, like, you know, they killed his lover and the hell he brought to the people who killed them. To me, that's like, that's a love story I want to hear about. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Fuck the, oh, he brought me flowers. Oh, he said I love you. Nah, man, I need to see some fucking actions. Anyway, all right, okay. Yeah. All right, so what's your way of saying I love you without words? Okay. You know, I'm realizing I'm sharing a lot too much about myself. Okay, next one here. Okay, this is going to be categorized under this.
You must learn.
Yeah, all right. So what was that?
You must learn.
Yeah, this segment of the podcast, I call it You Must Learn. And then because we're going to drop some black history on your ass. Okay, so here we go. Here we go. Let me put
Black American Freedom history we should all know. Did you know that Black Americans placed billions of dollars in today's money in the Freedmen's Bank after slavery and experienced one of the biggest robberies of our black dollars in history because of it? Now, after slavery, Black American freedmen were promised 40 acres and a mule for their economic dependence, but never got it. Whites substituted the land that our ancestors would do with a bank in which they could save and build wealth for themselves. Now, Black Americans began putting the little they had in the bank, but as soon as they did, white President Henry Cook began stealing the hard-earned money of our ancestors by gambling, investing in railroad bonds, and even presenting numerous loans to his friends and family. He would steal so much that he would eventually bring the bank into a state of destitution. After, whites would turn to Frederick Douglass to fix the problem, and he tried, but the damage was done. The bank declared bankruptcy and in 1874 was officially closed. At the date of closing, money was due to 61,000 black depositors. None of our freedmen family were ever given back the money lost.
Oh, sorry about that. Oh my God. Sorry about that last part. Damn. I need to figure out how to regulate the sound on this motherfucker. But yeah, man. Yeah, this is... before I conclude. All right. So, this is not the first time I hear stories explaining... stories about how black folks, after slavery, were ripped off by white people. And, holy shit. You know, sometimes I'm... okay, this is a complicated thought that I'm trying to, as a black person, and it's going to touch on something I'm going to talk about with regards to Palestine. As a black person, I feel that I developed the habit of looking at the cause, not focusing on the effects. Excuse me. Woo! There was a demon inside me. Yeah. What I mean by that is I think about how, like I said, I grew up in the city of Ottawa, born in Montreal, but raised in Ottawa. And so I'm surrounded by white people. So I had this tendency of seeing the world like they did. But I knew that something was wrong. Like, I still remember my white classmates. There was an incident that would happen with First Nation folks, First Nation people. Indigenous folks, indigenous to Canada, and what's that last incident? That golf course. Sorry, when I try to remember it, I forget. It doesn't work. But if I could get myself to relax, Lakmich. Hold on, let me just write that. I think Lakmich was the first time. Lakmich Accord. Is that it? Is that the one? Is that the one with Mulroney? Anyway, whatever. Yeah, so it was the first time an incident involving soldiers, the Canadian government, and indigenous people cited the news. And then the white people would all be like, man, these fucking indigenous, what the fuck, man? Fuck, man. We give them love. What the fuck do they want? Like, you know. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, aren't those the people you stole, you know, who got their land taken? And now they're protesting? Like I was able to see through the bullshit. Like, I always saw them as, like, it never escaped my mind that, hey, I'm sitting on stolen fucking land. And the indigenous people might have something to say about it. But the white people always looked at it as, yo, they should have been shut the fuck up. Like, they should have accepted the fact that they're conquered people and we're the conquerors. It's as if that's how white parents raise their kids, to be like, we're the conquerors. And these indigenous folks are going to bitch. These indigenous folks are insignificant. And when they remind you that, hey, we're still here, they're like, oh, God. Okay, hold on. I'm making my point here. What I'm getting at is, I remember reading about Black America, the ghettos, and how Black people were, not just Black Americans, but how our stories of, you look at white people, like inventors, creators, job, wealthy, and all that shit. You look at Black people, war-torn, poor, blah, blah. And I swear, no one gave me the interpretation. I was supposed to infer the fact that, yo, Black people just couldn't cut it, or some bad karma. We, like, victims of bad. There was never an explanation of, okay, this is how you guys ended up this way, and this is how we ended up over here. There was never anything like that. It was just assumed that we fucked up, white people just got their act together. And by the way, God is white. That's white supremacy for you, man. That's the education of white supremacy. All this to say, where I'm going with this, where I'm hearing this story is, I replied to that story with, does Kevin Hart know about that shit? Know about this story? And where I was going with this is, Kevin Hart is not the first person, especially Black person, to look at Black people and say, y'all, you guys fucked up. You guys need to get your shit together. You guys are the reason you're poor is because you're stupid. The reason you're poor is because you didn't pray enough. The reason you're poor is because you practice voodoo. The reason you're poor is because you don't take care of your kids. Like, all kinds of, y'all just ain't got your shit together. At least for me, it was simple. They said, yo, the reason Black people are in the way they're in is because you're Black. That's it. You're cursed. It's a fucking curse. I grew up with the idea that we were cursed. Anyway, yeah. So, I share this story. And also, middle finger to everyone who looks at Black people just as a way to feel better about themselves. Oh, fucking you savages and stuff like that. Meanwhile, no one wants to talk about how this shit happened. Whatever. Okay. Cause and effect. And this concludes today's segment on
You Must Learn.
Yeah, here we go. you must learn.
Black American freedom and history, whoops, we should
whoops,
all know.
Whoops. Okay, all right. Okay, next item. You know. Okay, I have a lot of short items. We're gonna get to. Okay. All right. What time is it? Okay, I'm gonna need time to cook with this one. So on Reddit, there's a section that I really appreciate, a subreddit called Change My View. Actually, it's a lot of reading. And the way it works is, someone will make a point, will make an argument, or we'll make a point. They'll elaborate in the description, and it's for you to help me see the other side of the coin. Now, this changed my view. Made me emotional. Made me angry. But it made me emotional to the point of triggering thoughts and actually listening to what he said. I tell you what, I'm gonna read it out loud, and by read it out loud, I'm gonna let my AI bot do it for me, and then I'll respond, all right? Okay.
CMV, the highly sensitive person trait is not a thing. We all feel deeply, but some of us have better coping mechanisms than others. Here is an infographic that explains the concept I'm skeptical about. CMV, I believe the idea of a highly sensitive person is flawed. I'm open to being showed some science to back up this 1 in 5 claim. Please don't confuse this idea with sensory processing disorder or being on the spectrum. I believe both of those are official diagnoses and they deserve their own category. It's not that I don't believe we have different levels of sensitivity. I just reject the idea that 1 in 5 people have a special connection to their emotions and feelings and the rest of us schlubs just don't get it. I'm married into a family of self-diagnosed highly sensitive people and it drives me nuts when I'm told that I just wouldn't understand what it's like to feel so deeply. I think we all process information in different ways and we have our own individual response to them. And here's where maybe I'm a little insensitive. I think some people have poorly developed coping mechanisms. In high school, I had lots of social anxiety. I overthought and ruminated on everything. It was crippling. I didn't sleep well because I needed to go over every conversation in my head 20 times over. I worried what others were thinking of me. Yes, this is common among HS students. Over time, I realized that my oversensitivity was hindering me. So, I practiced turning off those intrusive thoughts. I would intentionally force myself to move on and think of something else if a thought was particularly upsetting to me. For example, my mom is dying of brain cancer. I'm not immune to sad thoughts, but I've developed strategies for coping. So, this is my experience and this is my perspective. When 1 in 5 people claim to be in a special category for which the other 4 in 5 just couldn't understand, I wonder if these people have just not worked hard enough on their coping mechanisms.
All right, this is it, man. I won't lie, man. Okay. This shit made me emotional. It made me angry. I wanted to rip this dude's face off. But I thought about it. I reflected. And I realized the reason I'm angry is because when I first, a part of me actually, how do I say? A part of me believed him. That's why I was angry. Now, I want to be careful, right? Fellow HSP, I'm going somewhere with this. Fellow folks with highly sensitive people, this dude could go fuck himself. I'm still on, go fuck himself. But I'm explaining the reason why I was, the reason why it got under my skin is because I've gone my entire life believing that it was all about me coping with this. It was me that was overly sensitive. It was, I grew up with the notion that I was, my problem in life out of everything wasn't the small penis. Wasn't that I wasn't getting any bitches. It was the fact that I was sensitive. And it was something that I needed to fix. And just couldn't. Fast forward to, what, age 45, baby? How long has it been? Yeah, 45. Fast forward to the age 45. I've reached a point where I'm like getting suicidal. Because I was starting to think that, yo, I can't do it. I can't help it. This fucking sensitivity. I can't live in this fucking world being this fucking sensitive. I was not meant to be here. Everyone else seems to have figured it out. Everyone else can look at a dead baby and be like, eh, whatever. What are we having for supper? Everyone could like hear about human suffering and keep moving. And me, I'm like losing my fucking mind. I'm not sure. Was it a whoop? Oh, right. There was a lot of anger. There was a lot of rage. I should also add that his letter reminds me of someone that I knew who needed me to explain, who wanted me to explain what it's like to be spiritual. And I honestly thought this was a change in my view. This person was sincere. Another reason why I'm angry, because it reminded me of that person who wanted me, and he was an atheist, and I was spiritual, and this person wanted me to explain to them what it means to be spiritual. And because he was an intelligent person, I figured, okay, he'll understand. Every response I gave this person, he kept dismissing it. You could just drink beer. You know, he just had like every, I thought I was actually having a friendly, I thought I was having an exchange of ideas. I thought I was helping this person see a color that they've never, I thought I was describing a color to that person that they've never seen before. And the whole time they're like, nah, that's black. You're just talking about the color black. I'm trying to tell you it's not white. It's not black. It's not red. It's not green. It's not this. It looks like, and any reason I get it, just bullshit. You're just full of shit. And just like this, it was, he spoke exactly like this person. So a part of me questions their sincerity. That's why I think that's the other reason I'm angry, because I'm listening to that. Okay, that's what changed my view is supposed to be. Like, I guess I should credit this person for describing the thought. But there's something about his question that feels like, dude, what you're really saying is, I think this concept of highly sensitive person is bullshit. And help me dismiss every reasons why it's bullshit. Third point, why it made me angry. I remember growing up in my family, and for some of this is the reason why I have difficulty. There's a lot of relatives I have that I don't speak with them. And the thing is, for some of them, it was not a full-time sport. Took pleasure in triggering me. In pressing my buttons. Now, in my mind, I'm like, yes, I know you're right. I need to calm down. I need to not get so emotional. I need to get so emotional. I'm practicing. I'm doing my best. And in their mind is, we're going to press your buttons as a way to train. It was the equivalent of training you into being a stronger person. But that's like, I don't know. I can't think of an example. But the reality is, I wasn't going to change. It was the equivalent of, okay, you need to stop drinking. You need to work on your alcohol tolerance, right? And the way they test you is by putting liquor in front of you. And then when you drink it, it's like, you fucking idiot, you loser, whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And the worst part is, I would believe it. I'd be like, I ain't shit. I'm fucked up. You're right. I failed. I'd get angry. I'd be so disappointed in myself. And I'm like, I made their point. It's like, you know, I'm thinking of that scene of Marvel. Is it just Captain Marvel? That scene in Captain Marvel where Captain Marvel is fighting with what that English dude's name is. Whatever. Okay, you got to see Captain Marvel, right? He's fighting. Captain Marvel is hanging out with some bad dudes, and he's trying to get her to, and he's challenging her into a fight, and homegirl's got an arm cannon in her hand, and that dude keeps saying, yo, you don't have the right to don't use your arm cannon, you're getting too emotional. Basically, he kept using her strength against her, and he kept saying, you know, oh, fuck it. There you go, being emotional. Every time he would get his ass kicked by Captain Marvel, he'd be like, there, see, you're getting emotional again. You need to control your emotions. And she was like, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Whatever, whatever. Towards the end of the movie, spoiler alert, she's like, boom. Like he tried to do it. He, he tried to engage her in a fight again. Said, come on, fight me, all right? But come on, and prove to me that you figured it out. And then she was like, boom, used her arm cannon. She's like, nigga, I ain't gotta prove shit. You need to acknowledge the fact that this arm cannon can fuck you up. Bow down, bitch. Here's where I'm going with this. I guess that's why I really love that scene in Captain Marvel, is because I went into therapy and finally discovered the trait of being a highly sensitive person. And one of the things that I did, I realized that it's a thing. I feel emotions, like I go 0 to 100. It's not an excuse. I'm not making an excuse, but I learned that, okay, I got to manage it. And one of the first things I did is got rid of everyone or blocked out everyone who took advantage of, who basically didn't do anything good for my highly sensitive self. Bottom line is, this is who I am. And if our relationship means you playing target practice, pressing my buttons, we don't need to be friends. We don't need to have a relationship. Now, you need to work within my confines. Like, we don't have to be best of buddies. I tell you what, if you need help, you're in danger, sure. But in terms of being lovey-dovey and being close friends, no, that shit doesn't need to happen. It's kind of like if you have a friend who tells you that they stop drinking. And, you know, whatever. Like, and you can tell that alcohol around them doesn't help them. Don't be a fucking asshole. You know what I mean? You work with people. You appreciate the thing. Look, I tell you what. The way I look at it, if I have a friend who makes me feel like my sensitivity is a hindrance to them, then I'll make it simple for them and walk away. It's not up to me to adjust to you to make you feel better. It just means that we are not compatible human beings. Just accept it and walk away. Wow, I finally made my point. Yo, you know what? As much as this person made me angry in that post, I still appreciate getting these thoughts out. I would not have a conversation with that person because I honestly don't believe their sincerity. I honestly think to them, they still believe that it's one of those things that, nah, I don't believe it. It's just, I don't have the kind of empathy that would allow me to accept the fact that people are just different. And yeah, that's it. That's it, man. I want to finally get to, oh wow, look at the time. Not bad, man. If you notice, I don't have a lot of, you know what? I'll save this for final thought, but this concludes. I still appreciate the change my view sections, and it's not the first time that someone has asked a question that just sent me. But that rage just fueled thoughts. It just put me in a situation. Why am I angry? Why am I feeling this? Why do I have these deep emotions? And you know, I'm actually grateful for human beings that get me thinking. I'm not saying you're getting a prize. I'm not giving you a cookie or some shit like that. But I'm just saying, I love these moments when I'm able to reflect on, why am I feeling this way? Oh, hey, look who's at the door. All right, hold on a second. I'm going to let them in. A second. All right, sorry. Why am I apologizing? All right, okay. Let's jump to final thoughts because so I can get my Uber Eats. All right, okay. All right, so this concludes final thoughts. Okay, this concludes use a random thought. Let's go to final thoughts. All right, here we go. All right, you can't tell, but I actually stopped the recording. So I pick up my Uber Eats. And I ordered some Haitian food, and goddamn, the plantain is delicious. Holy fuck, I'm going to rush this final thought. Whoever cooked that food, that plantain, got laid last night, the night before. They got some. They're in love. They were in love. That's what I say when people, the food I eat is really delicious. All right, what's up with today's title, this podcast title? Free Palestine. Before I explain what's up with the title, that clip I just played was from Menace to Society. Usually I start the show with a rap verse, and I couldn't think of one. Doesn't matter. So I went with that scene in Menace to Society when Old Dog is talking about, man, these fools smoke your goddamn cousin. And he's talking about that, yeah, man. And he's got no problem killing kids. And it just has me thinking about what's going on in, you know, the whole killing kids thing's been fucking with my head, all right? I'm highly sensitive, an empath, and the idea of Israel needs to defend themselves. I understand it, but defending themselves is starting to look more like fucking vengeance. It's starting to look more like, yo, we ain't no bitch. We ain't no bitch. These motherfuckers need to recognize. It feels less like we're trying to figure this thing out. We're trying to work out a solution beneficial to the both of us. No, it feels more like, no, we're going to win, you're going to lose. And I'm just saying that we're, you know, before I continue, so, because I explained Menace to Society, but let me explain. I'm going to shout out Fantastic Freddy. No, I don't know her. No, she doesn't know me personally. Shout out to me for pretending like I do know her. But Fantastic Freddy is a content creator. Comic book nerd, black comic book nerd. That's how I'm just going to summarize, a black comic book nerd. And I mean that in a respectful way. I mean, like with is it reverence? She been to it, best who ever did it. And speaking her mind. And actually, I'll be honest. The title and his final thoughts were inspired by her thoughts. And I'm going to share it with you. I'll share it with you. And honestly, I remember I had just watched a whole bunch of video casualties of what's going on. Like basically, Israel's response to the recent terrorist attack. And you know what? I recently Googled two things. I Googled Israel's defense budget. It's in the fucking billions. I don't know why I thought I expected to see billions. No, in the billions. Maybe because I'm from Canada. Hold on. Let me Google this. Canada's. Okay, let me focus, B. All right, let me focus. Okay, all right. Right. Let me put this. My point is, Israel's got a fucking military. They got influence. They got allies, which includes the United States. They're like this big entity. They're not this small. They're not small fries. They're like Negan. Now, I understand, because I looked up the beef between Palestine and Israel. And actually, you know, it's fucked up when you have to start at before Christ to explain the story. I'm like, holy shit. Our beef with white people started in 1492. Yo, these motherfuckers went back. Holy shit. Like, I get it. This beef goes back from a long time. And there's been a lot of back and forth between. There's been a lot of we hit them, they hit us. But it doesn't change the fact, goddammit, Israel, that you got all the fucking guns. Great power comes great responsibility. If the world's angry at you, it's because you're violating that principle. With great power comes great responsibility. Yeah, you were attacked. Yes. But killing kids? Anyways. So I remember I was just, I don't know, I think I started the podcast where I need to get off social media. And I just remember feeling that it's like I was repressing on the last, you know, I just realized the last three, this is probably the third episode where I'm talking about my feelings regarding what's going on in the Middle East. And I think this is the episode where I conclude with Free Palestine. And I'm going to, after that, I'm going to credit the thought by Fantastic Freddy that led me, that inspired me to finally find the courage and be like, man, fuck this whole both sides are violent, both sides are bad, pick a side. And here we go. Okay, hold on. Let me just adjust the volume because this shit is fucking Instagram is loud, but here we go.
Off of getting canceled by Man Talk. And for a second, I let it stop me from being who I am. Agreed. In terms of speaking my mind and speaking out for, against things that I personally feel is wrong. And I think it was because, like, if I can watch men debate for hours, and it was for hours, whether or not I deserve to be perpetually, habitually harassed by people because of my take on a cartoon, you know, what would happen if I spoke about something real? And that's not right, and that's not me. So I wanted to be clear and open and honest. The things I've been seeing, the things I've been reading about what's going on in Palestine is so disturbing.
Ditto.
It's so disturbing. And I think what's more disturbing is watching the shame that's coming against, you know, people who are speaking up for Palestine, who's being ethnically cleansed. To see Jewish people, and I live in a Jewish area, I have so many Jewish friends. And just to see so many people with influence, with power, cheer on a military that is decapitating babies and eradicating families, I can't put my head around, like, it makes no sense. And I think the biggest lesson I've been getting from this is that the power the media holds. And I know that as a Black woman, like seeing that, being around during George Floyd, seeing things like the Central Park Five, like I know how much power the media holds.
Right.
But to see how no nuance, no critical thinking is going on, to see how much hate is being spread, to see how much people are lacking basic human empathy, is jarring. It's terrifying. And like, even in my neighborhood today, I was walking around. I've been like caught up in work and everything, but today I was walking around and I saw all these like missing photos for people who were in Israel at the time, because I live in a Jewish community. And I took a picture of it. Let me show you. I took a picture of this because this seemed so disingenuous. Like there are different people and photos of this all around the city, manipulating the narrative and showing people who were kidnapped. And they may have been, I don't know what's going on, but it's to once again paint Palestine as this like evil terrorist group, when there's just so many people who are being killed, who are being eradicated from this earth. And I know I may be repeating myself, but this is so insane. I can't focus. I can't get a right frame of mind. And I just couldn't do any more content, nerdy content, without speaking on it and without letting people know that I see, I recognize, and I think it's absolutely terrible. The response, the actions, everything that's going on. It's blowing my mind, and it's so hard not to be cynical.
Yep.
Seeing how people react, seeing how people are moving in this space. It's terrible. And I'm not an expert. I don't know. I can't speak to everything that's going on. I definitely refer you to other people. I'll tag some below that I refer to that can help educate you. But it's scary. And also, if you are supporting what's going on right now and you're like good for Israel, please show yourself in my comments, or effectively just block me.
Just block me.
Because that, I don't want to be associated with you in any way. Please. I hope that we as a people will be better. I pray that some sort of justice can come out of this, although I don't think there will be. And all I can ask is that you educate yourself the way I'm trying to educate myself, And yeah, I just could not post another, you know, lighthearted video from New York Comic Con or anything else or a deep dive without addressing what's going on, because it's so deeply terrible, horrifying, and awful. And it would be disingenuous to do so. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you could tell this was fresh, off the cuff. Check out her, you know, check her out, Fantastic Frankie, on Instagram. This clip came from this clip was on Instagram. I couldn't find it on her YouTube channel. Something tells me that may have been intentional. But the point is, Fantastic Frankie. Frankie spelled Frankey, on Instagram, and I see follower. If you're not following her already, yeah, no, everything she said inspired this thought. I think I felt the need to draw a line in the sand and be like, you know what, fuck it, just say it. The title of today's episode nearly was "Fuck It, Free Palestine." I realized that this podcast does not need to exist if I can't get myself to say free Palestine. I initially started out, like I said, seeing the situation for what it was. Like I've been saying in the past two episodes, before, was it October 7th, before the attack by Hamas on Israel, up until that point, I was bombarded. In addition to police brutality videos in the United States, I was bombarded with shit going on in Palestine. And it was the Palestinians who were suffering, like dealing with the Israeli army. There's an apartheid going on over there. And that's what pisses me off, that doesn't get discussed. That's all I was seeing about injustice carried against Palestine. And then boom, terrorist attack happens. And what kills me about the situation is the focus was on the terrorist attack, not everything that led up to it. It's like all of us, like they acted like Palestinians out of nowhere. Okay, they say Hamas, they use the word Hamas, but they're acting like Palestinians and Hamas woke up one day and said, you know what, today's a good day for a terrorist attack. What is it, October 7th? Yeah, let's do it. Let's do this, all right? Get your guns. Paraglide. Terrorist attack. Now, it was shitty, but I can't, okay, you know, in a past episode, I was talking shit about Hamas. I might need to take back some, no, okay, hold on, I gotta be careful. Okay, the reason I was saying I might need to take back what I said, because when I think about the Haitian Revolution, the details, a lot of atrocities were committed. And I'm not, fuck, I mean, it's easy to do that now, you know, oh, very brave of you, be black. Standing up for a revolution that happened back in 1804. But my point is, atrocities were committed. Men, women, and children were murdered during that insurrection. But here's the thing. It made sense to me. It's like, the fuck are you thinking enslaving some people? The fuck did you think was going to happen? I get angry at, if I hear a story of a woman who was sexually trafficked, murdering her traffickers, I'm applauding her. Fuck that. I mean, I'm applauding her. If I hear a story about an abused child, an abused woman, or abused guys, responding violently, or a dog responding violently, I'm applauding the responder. What is it about the fucking society where we tolerate abusers, where we make excuses for abusers? Oh, you know what it is? Because sometimes abusers are in a position to say, you're fired. Oh, that funding you want? No more. They got that kind of juice. They got that kind of influence. They got that kind of power. They got enough power to be like, hey, I know Jeffrey Epstein. I know that rape is a problem for you, but I'm going to need you to suck that shit up. Why? Because I said so. Because I can. That's what power is. A lot of reasons, some folks get into power so they can be in positions to do, like, to be abusive. That's all what I mean when I say free Palestine. When I say free Palestine, I'm saying this as also the solution to free Palestine, and then free Palestine, and then let's deal with the people who don't feel like Israel deserves to exist. Let's talk about then I'm on your side. Then I'm like, yeah, man, Israel's got a right to defend themselves. Then I'm like, yo, fuck it. They won't listen? Go ahead. But first, I need you to back off from Palestine. Now, again, this is where I don't know the details. I'm not a scholar. Apparently, the suggestion is a two-state solution. I don't know. What I do know is Israel, that apartheid shit, cut that shit out. This genocide shit, cut that shit out. Before Hamas attacked, y'all were doing some dirt too. Y'all were not in the clip. This reminds me of, I want to send a middle finger to the people of, you know, this is me being highly sensitive right now, but middle finger to the people of Canada politics for downvoting. Yes, I'm laughing at my own sensitivity. Oh, yeah. What happened is there's an article they shared about how Justin Trudeau was saying, hey, yo, bombing a hospital is fucked up. You know, he used diplomatic language, but it's unacceptable. So, yo, don't be bombing hospitals. And that shit just had me thinking, I should have saved this for this podcast. Didn't realize I was in the wrong. I should have known Canada politics. The light says to politely discuss politics. You know what? Okay, I'm acting hurt. I guess no one responds. People just downvoted my. Okay, I'm angry not because it was downvoted, because I keep picturing the person who did the downvoting. Man, fuck them kids. Smoke all them fools. I'm picturing them doing the downvoting. But yes, my feelings are hurt by my point. But I said Israel is like the friend. Underline the word friend, because I get this. That's willing to do dirt, like old dog. And at some point, you gotta have to ask yourself, you'd have to reevaluate your friendship and wonder, how far am I willing to ride with this person? I don't know if you grew up like this. Shout out to my, I was gonna say my Italian-American friends who went legit. And who surrounded by friends who did dirt, had the mature to be like, you know what? I can't hang with you, man. I ain't trying to go to jail. If you do dirt and the cop pull us over, nigga, I'm gonna have to snitch. Like you develop that maturity at a point that you realize that's I can't hang with that person anymore. We can be friends. I mean, we could call each other, but we cannot be seen together because that person is going down a path that I can't follow with. And I'm saying that's what Israel is about. I honestly get. Like I said on one of the past episodes, I can picture myself being in Israel after that terrorist attack and being like, fuck that. I still remember, like I mentioned before, after 9/11, and I'm Canadian. After 9/11, Bush, fucking Bush Jr., fucking idiot, brain dead the first. So I'm trying to think of a Tony Soprano diss. Bush, he was not a popular politician. I still remember being angry that at the time we considered that he stole the election that from was it Al Gore? Yeah, whatever, right? But I didn't want him to win. Yeah, we had Clinton, and then this motherfucker shows up. I did not like Bush, Junior Bush, Bush Junior. 9/11 happens, and it traumatized me. And you're reading the details, like, why would you do? I think what really brought me over the edge, no pun intended, was that's not real. That was not funny. I was not trying to be funny, but I was gonna say what brought me to the edge. What really struck that final chord about 9/11 wasn't just the people on the. It was the people, not just the people, the police who went into the building or who died in the tower fall. It was the people jumping out of the building. That struck a chord where I was like, "Fuck it, man, do your thing, America, man. Y'all got mutes." I was following the violent crime. I remember when Bush showed up, finally came to visit the rebels, and he did his some whack ass speech. But when he shined, when someone said, "What did he say?" I forget what he said, but Bush responded with, "I can hear you," and I'm paraphrasing. And the motherfuckers who brought these towers down are gonna hear us. Man, I was like, "Yeah, bro, 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 kill them all." Kill them insurgents. I had no idea which country are if it's fucking. I had no idea what foreign policy was. I had no idea what was going on in Afghanistan. To me, I thought it was Iraq. I'm like, but come on, man, get that Saddam Hussein. Oh damn, I'm old. Anyway, I had no idea, but I do remember it was like blame a Muslim. Like I had to remind myself that I have friends who are Muslims, and who are like, oh fuck. Who are like how I would be if a black person committed a heinous crime. I'd be like, oh shit, they're gonna blame us. You know how white folks do. By the way, shout out to my Muslim brothers for 9/11. Cause they didn't blame us, cause white folks like this. Shout out to my Chinese friends for COVID. During COVID, I was like, I'm an asshole. During COVID, it's not that I was like, yo, blaming Asians for COVID. It was more like, yo, better you than us. Imagine COVID came from Africa. I'm Haitian. They would have blamed us too. All I'm saying is, shout out to my non-white friends. For all those times you took in the heat for us, it was your turn. It was your, okay. Sorry, okay. Jokes aside, all right, let's get serious. Okay, B, you got food waiting for you. All right, okay, all right. Where was I? Bush said the motherfuckers who. Oh, but the point I was making is yes, I can understand that Israel is going for their 9/11. They're like, fuck that. We want vengeance. All it takes is one speech. And, you know what? Biden actually made a recent speech in Israel, and he knows, like, they're partners, they're allies, and he knows, but I love that he brought up, hey, what Hamas did sucked, we gonna fuck them niggas up. But, I'm paraphrasing, but the speech was like, yo, dear Israel, learn from our mistakes. After 9/11, we went crazy, and we, like, destroyed Iraq, Afghanistan, and wasted a lot of money on the war, and that we're still paying for now. So all you motherfuckers out there who think when I say free Palestine, I mean suck it up, Iraq, not at all. I'm saying, look, it's 2023. Can we act like we got some fucking sense? Can we stop using, like in the old days, it was easy, fuck, I'm sure, after Pearl Harbor. Kill them Japs. Kill them Japanese. Sorry. Yes, I recognize Japs is a slang, is a derogatory term. But I imagine after, I'm sure I don't want to hear what Canadians did. Oh, man, we ain't got to talk about the atrocities Canadians committed during World War II. But that's another story. I'm saying in the old days, it was easy to say, yo, fuck them other niggas because I'm down with my niggas. Like, drop a bomb on it, genocide, wipe them off the earth. But now that we see the details, now that we have this information age, now that you've made us part of this war, it's only normal that we be like, I'm thinking of Slim Charles when he said, that's what war is. Yeah, war is like that. When Israel declared war on Hamas, what they were pretty much saying is, fuck them kids. That's what war is. When you're at war with another country, you're not thinking, you're not being noble. You know, it's like the Game of Thrones. At war, there is no good or bad guys. It's only winners and losers. And the winner gets to just explain how they were justified. Sure, their kids, you know, the next generation might talk shit about them, but in the moment, it's only who wins and who loses. That's all that matters. Israel's military, the racist military, and they're not, excuse me, Israel's militaries, the strategists, the people in charge, are making decision. What can we do? We have a budget. What can we do to bring this war to an end? They're calculating shit like, how many hospitals are we willing to bomb if it ends this fucking war? I'm sure they factored that shit in. Sprinkle some crack on it. That's what war is. You're not, ain't nothing pretty about war. If you're at war, your only objective is to end this war as quick as possible. Yo, if they could drop nukes, the only thing slowing down Israel from unleashing all hell is the fucking media. It's us. Public perception. Slowing down. If it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for the cameras, they'd be like, okay, what Palestine? The Middle East problem is gone. Well, granted, I imagine that, like, because I'm actually curious that the neighboring countries aren't, yo, back off, Israel. I don't know what that's about. Again, I'm limited understanding of politics in the Middle East, but I do know that they got the weaponry to bring this war to a conclusion. And I'm sure the United States is like, I'm going to need you to chill. Or I'm going to need you to, like, if you're going to kill babies, I'm going to need you to, like, make sure that shit, we don't see those coverage. Now, for Canada, I respect the fact that Trudeau, you know what? Finally, I mean, he was like, oh, what Hamas did. But I respect the fact that he was like, yeah, man, yo, you can't be bombing no hospitals. Dude, what the fuck? You know what country I'm from? What the fuck? I'm trying to get reelected. I don't know what, it doesn't matter. Where's that going with this? Yeah. You know what? Even Tony Montana didn't kill no children. You think I'm a fucking worm like you? Okay, I can't do an impression of Tony Montana. When I say free Palestine, I mean stop making excuses for the abusers. No more, stop the abuse. Stop the abuse. That's all I mean. And if you want to be an asshole to misinterpret, misjudge, mischaracterize what I mean by free Palestine, and you know what? We don't need to be friends. That's my line in the sand. It's like Malcolm X said, man, those who stand for nothing will fall for anything. Okay, let me say, no, the man who falls, okay, the actual quote is, a man who stands for nothing will fall for anything. Now I get it. Fall like will get suckered into anything. The fact you're allowing, Israel is in war mode. Someone needs to help them. Yo, chill, bro. Chill, chill. We know you can't. Chill. And it's not just chill, but the thing is, in the Israeli government, they got some racists. They got some dudes who are like, man, fuck. I ain't trying to hear shit about Arabs. Like racist wet dream. They're like, fuck them. And there's probably one head who's like, yo, we got to calm down. We got to back off. But that voice isn't, I don't know if they're in a minority, but they're not in charge. The libtards. The bleeding heart liberals. People are people. I'm sure there's people, and whatever. Okay, I'm not going to make this whole speech. All I'm going to say is, when I say free Palestine, from the bottom of my heart, stop the fucking abuse. Freeing Palestine solves the problem with, at least addresses one problem with, the conflict in Israel. Back off. Now, I get this beef goes back from a long time. Some of you are like, yeah, if we take our foot off their neck, they're just going to stab us. Because, you know, we did some heinous shit. We gave them reasons to piss them off. I get that. Like, I don't know how that part gets solved. I understand, like, you know, again, this beef goes, yo, before Christ, folks. Before fucking Christ. Think of Chicago. You know, the violence in Chicago? Why it keeps going on? Because they hit us. It's a scenario of one group hits one group and the other group retaliates. And it keeps escalating on how. I saw this clip in Brazil. I got to get off the internet, right? I saw this clip in Brazil, and this gang showed up. Are you here? Okay. This gang showed up to the funeral of someone they killed. and stole the body so people couldn't mourn it. Like they celebrated the fact that, yo, fuck that, no crime, they stole the body. My first thought was, what the fuck led to that? It was evil. But if they did that, they really hated that dude in that car. What did them niggas do to make them mad? It's like, I don't mean to laugh, but I'm saying, look, if I was the victim, if I was the person mourning, right? And I'm not affiliated, I'm not in a gang, and this gang shows up, takes the corpse, like if this was my cousin, God forbid, and runs away with the body, I'm joining the clapback. Not me. I'm kidding. Younger me would have joined the clapback. I'd be like, yeah, man, let's smoke these fools. I don't give a fuck if they do got... Like, I want to be crueler to them. It's a cycle of violence, folks. It's a cycle. Don't participate in this. Okay, don't participate. Look at me preaching. When I say free Palestine, it's just my way of saying, yo, can we not stop using old solutions? Stop using... I'm not trying to be a hippie, but... Back in the days, yeah, sure, retaliate. I got all the guns. Eliminate the opposition. Now I'm saying is, what you want, I'm thinking Stephen Covey, man, win-win. I'm hoping, oh my God, did I just use the word hope? Oh my God, okay, all right. I am hoping human consciousness that we grow as a species, and at a certain point that win-win, we're two people and we go about figuring out solutions in a way that benefits both people, as opposed to win-lose. That's really what I'm trying to, when I say free Palestine, I'm really wishing, hoping that we could go about this shit in a better way. That doesn't involve killing kids, man. Stop fucking killing kids. You know, breaks my heart, man. I'm watching this. Like, I really don't want to take part in genocide. I really, God forbid, Israel gets their way. Palestine is down to one person. And what's going to happen? This is like, oh, I think Israel is in those, yo, we'd rather beg for forgiveness than permission. Fuck that. I think that's what their mindset is. And we're trying to say, yeah. And the thing is, I get it. I'm an emotional dude. Like I said, I still remember how I was on 9/11. It's hard for me to preach to them how, because they're like, yo, fuck you, bitch. You'd be doing the same thing we'd be doing. I get it. But I guess it's, I don't know how to achieve world peace. I get it. While at the same time saying, but I want a different outcome. I want to go about it differently. I'm not giving you a solution. I'm just saying what I mean when I say free Palestine. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. I knew I was going to talk a lot about this one. Okay. Let me share. Okay. Got this point out. Solution is, I just know killing kids. Even Tony Montana wouldn't kill kids. Yeah, that's a kid. That's kid. Okay, yeah, you know what? I'll save this for next one. I gotta write an email to the Black Fat Fam podcast, and it doesn't matter. I'm off. Okay, hold on. Off topic. Okay, this concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. If you wanna holler at me, you can holler at your boy on Twitter using the handle @BBlizzat or Shut Up Podcast, or on TikTok B.Black website. But yeah, if you really want to holler at me, yeah, go to the website, shutuppodcast.com. You know what? Maybe I should just plug the website. Fuck the other handles. Yeah, why am I promoting other people's? It doesn't matter. Yeah, go to the website, because I know you got a browser, right? You very likely have a browser. Everyone's got a fucking browser on their phone. I said fuck a lot on this episode, didn't I? Okay, whatever. A lot of people got a browser, so just go to the website, shutuppodcast.com. What was that? Shutuppodcast.com. And show notes will be there. The link to the clip from Fantastic Frankie is, oh my God, Fantastic Frankie is up there, or you could just go to her Instagram. But yeah, show notes will be there, and and everything that I talk about is in there. Oh, and there's also in the show notes and other links sections. And yeah, you'll notice, I was about to comment how the news and random thoughts were short because Palestine's been on my mind. That's all I've been on social media a lot, and everything I've been collecting, I've been like focused on. Who knows? Maybe next episode I'll still be talking about Palestine. You know why? Because it's my goddamn podcast. All right, okay. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon Podcast. Bon les amis, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. And from the bottom of my heart, I mean it when I say, peace.
I am your king now.